blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 48, stanzas 1 through 4. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim, ye children of his chosen race. Stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 48. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the epistle according to the gospel according to John, the sixth chapter, the first 27 verses. John 6, verses 1 through 27. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God of heaven and of earth, we are gathered together in thy house in this morning, in the beginning of this work week. Thou hast brought us together in the way of thy providence for a special service that is to acknowledge thee. And Lord, that is a wonder that we may still in our nation be called together. And that there is even in an outward way an acknowledgement of thy name and of the blessings that come out of thy hand. Wilt thou humble us thereunder? And give us an understanding heart. Lord, where shall we begin and where shall we end? When we are called to acknowledge thee. For we are such foolish creatures. And unobservant. And so taking thy blessings all for granted, that when one is taken away, then there is a little realization of what we had and from whom it came. But Lord, showered as we are with thy blessings and thy benefits, then we are so often as the beasts of the field. Then we go on and we have no impression. Lord, then we come to thee in this morning with another request. Because we cannot give to thee what thou requirest. And so it was the request of thy servant of old. Give what thou commandest and command what thou wilt. Oh, give, Lord. Then in this day a heart that may sink away under all thy blessings and thy mercies which are so manifold. Our nation, so blessed above so many nations here in this world. Oh, remember thou who are stricken with poverty, those that are in war and that must experience the miseries that are due to our fall in such a way that we don't know of. Lord, wilt thou give them also to experience that thou art alive, and give us a heart to acknowledge thee that thou still sparest us from all those miseries, and oh, that our blessings may never testify against us. We as a nation, O Lord, we bring upon ourselves thy judgments, because with all thy blessings, oh, we transgress all thy commandments. Oh, how thou art long-suffering. Wilt thou grant us understanding hearts? Turn us again, O Lord, we beseech thee. Remember our rulers and governors this day. Oh, may this day their heart be broken, and that they may receive a new desire. Oh, that they may rule according to thy law, that thy great goodness may break their hearts, and that it may become different in the outward life, evident that thou dost work. Remember us as a denomination, as churches. Then there are also so many reasons to acknowledge thee. For there are so many that are deceived under a false religion. And Lord, thou hast preserved amidst all our unworthiness thy truth among us. Oh, that thou would remember us yet still further, that we also may experience that truth, and that thy spirit may go amidst the congregations and work mightily to the breaking down of strongholds, that the hearts may be humbled beneath all thy gifts. Wilt thou be pleased to bless us further with more servants converted and called by thee? Preserve us as a congregation. Lord, we also, we have so many reasons that we do not see, so blind we are. Also as families, oh, wilt thou give to us in this day that we may look upon thy works, and that our heart may go out to thee with holy longings, that we may be thy people, and that thou may be our God. Oh, break our hearts, Lord, which we cannot break ourselves. Remember all those that are afflicted. Oh, then in the most misery, then it is possible still that we may acknowledge thee, that we are not yet cast away, that we still have a piece of ground here in this world. Lord, wilt thou cause us then to turn from our sin, and when we may be brought up under thy truth, that it may be brought also into our hearts. Wilt thou look upon us then as a congregation, cause us to flee from the ways of vanity, or that we may become a spiritual people, a people that look to the end of our journey, that look to our Maker, and that have a desire to be reconciled again to that Most High, to that living, to that good-doing God. Remember thou us in this day, those that are not able to be with us, those that may be afflicted with sickness or with weakness of the body, those that may listen by church telephone, Wilt thou remember all that are not able to gather in this day and that may have a desire? Wilt thou give them also a blessing in their places? And wilt thou supply for us here in thy house? Lord, once again, we are called to bring thy word. Oh, may it be with the love of our heart. May it be with the love for this flock. And oh, may it be with that love for thee. And may thy spirit accompany thy word. And then we all need thy help this day. Take away all that will hinder, that we may also listen, and that our heart may receive hearing ears. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 286, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. He waters the hills with rain from the skies. Plentiful grass and herbs he supplies, supplying the cattle and blessing man's toil with bread in abundance, with wine and with oil. And then, congregation, in this morning, then we would also like to acknowledge you for your generosity and for the tokens of your love in supporting us as a family. And we may acknowledge you as instruments in the hand of the Lord. And therefore, in this day, Thanksgiving Day, then we ask you, when the Lord has given us plenty and sufficient out of the goodness of your hearts, that you give nothing to us this day, but that you place it in the collection for the church. And may the Lord bless you and your gifts. Psalter 286, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. congregation, Thanksgiving Day may be commemorated throughout our whole nation in this day. But who has in this morning an impression truly of from where those blessings are coming to us day by day and moment by moment? How deep is our fall that we have no impression of the existence of the living God? And that when we are honest with one another, then we must say that every one of those blessings that we may receive from moment to moment that comes out of the hand of the Lord, that we go on with those blessings just as if there is no God in heaven. You cannot imagine what that would be as parents, or maybe we do experience it as parents, then it is an awful thing when we give to our children everything out of the love of our heart, and then our children, they turn their back, taking all those benefits, even as that prodigal son desired to leave the house of his father. It is a wonder, is it not, that we are still receiving blessings out of heaven? And we can make such a long list when, boys and girls, we would only sit down and think for a few moments, then there really is no beginning and there is no end. Because most of the things we receive, we really have never even thought of in our life. But we can make a long list, and what can we not do? We cannot break our own heart. We cannot make our cold heart to melt. Then on the other hand, it is possible that the Lord breaks our heart with sometimes just the very smallest thing, the very smallest blessing that we may receive in our life. And therefore, we say that on a Thanksgiving Day, actually, we come to ask the Lord again another blessing. And what is that? That is a heart to acknowledge Him. We wish, with the Lord's help, to consider out of the Word of God this morning our text, which you can find in a portion that was read to you from John 6, the 11th verse. John 6, the 11th verse. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. So far the words of our text. Sustenance provided for a multitude. First, a trying question. Second, an abundant provision. And third, a glorifying testimony. Sustenance provided for a multitude. First, a trying question. Second, an abundant provision. And third, a glorifying testimony. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So it has come out of the lips of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ after that Herod has beheaded John the Baptist. Then in the midst of such great dangers, we do not read that the Lord Jesus has ceased to do his work. But we read that the Lord Jesus departs and then he withdraws himself into the desert. So there he is doing his labors in a place of very poor accommodations for this life. And what do we read of the people? That they follow him, a great multitude, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And so we may pause here for a moment and ask ourselves what kind of hardships that we are willing to endure with our children, that we also may attend unto that word of God. Or is that so, young people, that maybe the slightest difficulty that we may have in this life that prevents us from coming to the house of God or from taking up his word, that we may read his word? This multitude, they followed the Lord Jesus where? They followed him into the desert. And then they are unmindful even of all the necessities that they have in this life. Unmindful of the things that they need also for their own bodies. Do you also know such a time in your life? When there was another hunger, when there was another thirst, when there was a hunger for the word, so much so that you had no thought of what you must eat, what you must drink, that you had no thought of sleeping in your bed, but that you are up reading in that word of God? Oh, then that is something that is belonging to that beginning life, that time of first love in the life of God's own children. And for such people, then the Lord will take care of all the necessary things in their life. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? To whom does the Lord Jesus speak? He speaks to Philip. That was one of the first disciples of the Lord Jesus. So we would say one of the most experienced ones among his disciples. And there is before Philip this great multitude and all of the rest of the disciples, they are there also. And with that great multitude, and they are here, we read in this desert place, so there is no place, boys and girls, that they may buy food. And so from the side of men, from the human side, then there is no idea from where they can possibly get sustenance. And therefore, we can read in the Gospel of Mark that the disciples, they are speaking to the Lord Jesus and saying to him, you must now send the people away because they also need to eat and drink. They need to get what is necessary to live in this life. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Maybe that question has also come into your mind. Maybe that was so in the beginning of this season. Then we also had a prayer day. And then maybe also there were circumstances in your own life that you say, how will it go, the future? Because indeed we live in a day of great prosperity. And we take so many things for granted. And that is not so in many nations of this world, boys and girls. It is a wonder that we may grow up in such a place when we may have plenty to eat and drink on our tables. And yet, maybe a young people, that you think sometimes to yourself, when I would get married and when I would have children, how is it that I would be able to afford it? When I see and when I hear of the cost of everything, the cost of living, to purchase a home, to that we can go on and on. You say, should I even get married? Should I even raise a family? Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where is it all going to come from? Or when there is, we see that sometimes a widow, sometimes young, a little children, no a father in the house. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Or when we become older and concerns, when we think perhaps in the future, then I will need to go into a nursing home. I will need those that will be able to care for me, and I have not that which is necessary to sustain, to pay for all this. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? How many concerns that we may have concerning the future for all the things that may be in this life? Is that sometimes also in your own heart, people of the Lord? These disciples, they have been in the company of the Lord Jesus already for some time, and they have seen with their own eyes and experienced in their own life so many of these miracles that the Lord Jesus has performed. But now this question that even comes to them, the Lord Jesus, he is turning himself and he is speaking directly to one of his disciples, to Philip. And that he directs this question to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat, Philip? And why does he do this? We read that, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That is, people of the Lord, the way of the Lord. That is, to prove, to test, as it were, his own children. So he did with Abraham when he must bring his own beloved son Isaac to the altar. So he did with the children of Israel when he led them into the wilderness, in that place of scorpions, we read. The place of drought, in the place where there was no water, that he brought forth water out of the rock, that he fed them with manna from heaven. Why? We read that in the Word of God. He did this that he might humble them and that he might prove them. Thus, the Lord promises that the bread and the water of his people, that shall be sure, yes, but he does not say to his own people where that this is going to come from. Then they cannot always see what that source is going to be for their sustenance for the future. And then not only so, but the Lord Jesus is turning here to one of his disciples, Philip. And he wants to see what Philip here is going to say. And why? Because he will have Philip to confess something. He will have Philip to say with his own mouth how insufficient that they are to feed this multitude. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he wants to do something. Do you know what all the Lord Jesus does, boys and girls? Do you know what that is all for? Remember that. That is all for the honor and for the glory of his own name. That is where every work of God will end. So it is the way of the Lord with all of his church to make them to realize, to make them to feel, to make them to confess their own helplessness and that utter insufficiency that is felt by his church, that is very real, that is more than notion. Thus, it is not a strange thing that church of God that is poor in this world, hearken, the Lord says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? And why? Oh, the Lord will glorify himself. But when the Lord Jesus speaks of his church, what does he say? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Thus, it is a people that will feel a spiritual poverty. Do you ever feel this, congregation? That spiritual poverty. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? That is in the first place for ourselves. Because the scriptures, how often are they open to us? How often is that scripture not such a closed book? And how often is our heart not so closed to the scripture? So hard, so cold, with no impression. And then fathers, you have a great responsibility. Amidst your family, amongst your children. That is not only to provide for them the natural food and all the things that are in this life, but whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where will come the spiritual food for our children? How can I give my children anything? Maybe also as consistory. Then we feel so often the same way. What did Moses say? He says, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And then how shall we go? Solomon says, I am but a child. And how shall I go before this, thy own people, O Lord? When shall we buy bread that these may eat? How shall we provide for our own congregation when we have nothing and when we have to experience that spiritual poverty? Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That is Philip's answer to this trying question of the Lord Jesus. And when we look at our circumstances, and when we judge by our circumstances, and we forget the Lord, then we are very soon at our wits' end. That we do not know what to do. 200 pennyworth of bread. That was for those disciples a great sum. And yet, Philip says, even bread bought with such a great sum of money, that still would not be sufficient to give every one of this multitude just a little bit to eat. Congregation, how much do you have stored up for the future? How much do you have in your savings account that you say that I may have what is necessary for something that could take place in the future, that is necessary to do, that we are frugal, that we spend not everything immediately, young people, but what a cause for anxiety that can be in our heart, especially when we have no desire, and maybe then there is a temptation that we go the way of the world, then we need insurance for this and insurance for that. You know what we would say? 200 penny worth of bread, that is not sufficient. There is no end to it. No end. You cannot protect yourself. When you would have 1 million, 2 million, then the bills, they can come in at 5 million. Where will you stop? When we judge by the circumstances and we forget the Lord, we are soon, congregation, at our wit's end. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Thus, that is now not Philip, but that is Andrew. And that is Andrew's answer to that trying question of the Lord Jesus. Then we say, oh, Andrew, are you just as Philip? Do you look, Andrew, also only to the means? How many miracles have you not been a witness of in all that time that you have spent already with the Lord Jesus? Said I not to thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that he would do. The Lord Jesus, he knew what he would do. He knows the end from the beginning. His are the cattle. Do we believe that? Oh, if we could only believe it. His are the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He is able to feed them, and he will feed them, but at the same time, what will he do? He will give instruction. That is, he is going to work how? He is going to work in their extremity. He is going to work, and he is going to give it to them when they do not know from where it can possibly come. We see that in our second thought, an abundant provision. That weakness and the dullness of the disciples, that must have been a great grief to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he does not rebuke them. No, he knows their frame and he knows that they also are dust. And he goes on and he will teach them, not only by his words, but he is going to teach them by his deeds, by what he is going to do. Then he does not just talk of his own power, but he will show, he will make manifest his own power. And with those works, he will put all the questions and all the fears of his disciples to shame. Did the Lord also do that in the season that has gone by? Has the Lord put every one of your fears and your anxieties for the things that are necessary in this life? Has the Lord put all those fears to shame? There is a little boy there. Probably he is carrying the food that is for the Lord Jesus and for these disciples. We can read that is just a meager portion because it is barley bread. That was very coarse bread, actually bread for the poor. So we can see the circumstances, the outward circumstances in which the Lord Jesus lived. And yet those disciples, well, they had just a little bit, and it was for themselves, necessary for themselves, that they could maintain themselves, and they knew it was not enough for everyone, and yet they are not unwilling to share it with everyone. Is that for you two boys and girls? Or do you say that's all for me? And brother, sister, you can go get your own. No, then the disciples, they are ready to share that little bit that they have with everyone. And then the Lord Jesus, he takes those few loaves and fishes, and what does he do? Then he gives thanks for that common, for that very, very coarse food, just those few loaves, those few fishes. Were you also able to do that in the season that has gone by, to give thanks? Or have we been satisfied even if we had just a meager portion, that we had not the same as maybe young people, children, maybe we don't have the same as everyone else has? But may we also give thanks for that. We don't need much. We don't need all the fine foods that are in this world. Do you know what we need? We need the blessing of the Lord. Having food and raiment to be content. A little that the righteous have, that is better than the treasures of many wicked people. The Lord Jesus, he prayed. He gave thanks. And then what do we read? Then he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. The disciples, they shall be the means in the hands of the Lord Jesus to feed this great multitude. They had nothing. From their own side, they had nothing. From their own side, they had no idea how that this was going to be possible, and still they will be used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord. Oh, how many times do God's servants have to go forward, congregation, in such a way as those disciples? Because of themselves, those disciples had empty hands, but the Lord Jesus, he said to those disciples, make those people sit down. That is, make them sit down so that they may be ready to eat. We would say, boys and girls, as we would set the table. Put the dishes and the forks and the spoons and the cups, put them all on the table. And have everybody sit there and make them all ready to eat. When there is not enough food for everyone. Congregation, how often is it not necessary for God's servants to go forward in this way? That is why we beg of you to go upon your knees before you come to this place, and we hope that this, young people, may be your practice. Oh, we have nothing. We have nothing to give to you. It all has to come out of heaven. If we may instruct you from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, that you may know in your mind the meaning of that word of God so clear, and you never receive a blessing from above, then you still lack spiritual food. And that we cannot give to you. But we must go forward. And we have to come to this place. And we have to do our labor. I was speaking just a week or two ago to Reverend DeLeo. And then he was telling me of a minister who had spoken to a man who was running a business. I think it was a carpentry business or so. And that man said to the minister, he said, sometimes I send a man to a job and I say to him, you begin, and I am coming. You begin, and I am coming. That is what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples here. You begin. And the rest, he says, then you leave that to me. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Matthew says, he says, and they did all eat, and they were filled. Oh, upon that obedience, then what is the Lord Jesus doing? He is working a miracle. Upon that obedience, when they are only going forward at the command of the Lord Jesus, then the Lord Jesus is coming. And the Lord Jesus is working here a great miracle. To give what? To give an abundance. An abundance. Because when he is multiplying, then there is not a lack, congregation, of anything. Does that mean that we will have so much abundance and that God's people will have so much abundance in this world? No. We read here that this miracle of the Lord Jesus, that is a picture for you and for me. It is a spiritual picture. Because later on, then the Lord Jesus, he says, I am that bread of life. Thus that natural eating, the Lord Jesus is with this miracle pointing to something else. He is pointing to a spiritual eating. And then he is showing something of that abundance that is to be found in that spiritual eating which he may give to his children. I am that bread of life. Oh, then Christ, he is the fulfillment, he is that manna upon which that true church of God may feed and congregation. It is impossible for us. You know, we read in the canons of Dort, head 3-4, article 12 of that regeneration. And our fathers have used a word there that is ineffable. We don't use that word so much, but ineffable. You know what that means? That means it cannot be expressed. Cannot be expressed. Human words are unable to express what is experienced by the true church of God, when in a spiritual way, then they may feed upon that bread of life. There is such a great abundance that takes away every need and that takes away every want of that soul. David, he expressed it with these words. He says, my cup runneth over. Young people, boys and girls, could we only give you the love of God in your heart? My cup, David says, it runneth over. That means that there was not place, not room enough in the heart of David to receive that abundance that the Lord is manifesting unto his children. We can read that in the Song of Solomon, when the Lord is pouring out his love unto that bride. Oh, then that bride, as she is also speaking, she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house. He filled me with his loves. His banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, as she says. Comfort me with apples. Why? Because I am sick of love. His right hand is under my head. With his left hand he doth embrace me. It was too much for her. It was too much for her. The love poured out in that Son of God, in that bread of life for his church. Sometimes the church of God may experience a little bit of what that overflowing abundance is. And then they may realize that they will need a glorified body in order to receive that abundance that will be poured out one day to that great and never-ending eternity. Let us sing Psalter 53. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me. The quiet waters by 1-5 of Psalter number 53. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Congregation, we live in a day of great prosperity. How do we act in it? The Lord Jesus teaches his disciples not to be anxious in the day of adversity. But now he also teaches them something else. That is, that they are not wasteful in that day of prosperity. Do you waste your food, boys and girls? That is a sinful thing. There are so many people in this world that do not have enough to eat and to drink. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples that they must now gather up all those fragments, that nothing will be lost. And now we see the purpose of the Lord Jesus here fulfilled. And what was his purpose? That was for his own glory. And now the Lord Jesus, he has so clearly set out everything here before the eyes of his disciples and of this multitude. In the first place, he has very specifically said to them that they must consider the impossibility. First, he said to them, Now go and count the number of loaves that you have. Go count them. Go see, actually, that you may know how little that you have. Second, he says, now go number the people. See how many people that there are. Put them there in companies, by 50 and by hundreds on the grass. Then he works a miracle. And then what does he say? Now gather up all those fragments. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He makes that miracle evident. He, as it were, will place that before their eyes. And 12 baskets full. What does the Lord Jesus do? He says, Now my people, look. Observe and see what I have done. Congregation, that is the work of Thanksgiving Day. To gather up today all those fragments, to count those baskets. And what does that bring forth? What did that bring forth for this multitude? Then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. That people knew the scriptures, even in the great declension of religion that was in their days. They expected that Messiah to come. They were looking for him. And then all these outward blessings, they have brought them to acknowledge that this indeed was that Messiah that they were looking for. They were persuaded in their minds. And yet for the most part, it was really just in an outward acknowledgement. What did the Jews think? They thought now we're going to have an easy life. Because in the next verse we read, Now when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. So now they wanted to make the Lord Jesus their king. That would be a king that could free them from the Romans. That was a king that could heal all their diseases. That was a king that could give them plenty of food to eat. They would have everything that was necessary for all of this life. What a life. All their temporal needs, they are cared for by their king. We have a life of ease. We have a life of prosperity. Now the Lord Jesus rebukes these Jews because of this motive. What does he say to them? He says, "Ye seek me because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He says, "You seek me for the outward benefits." Is that what we do too? That we seek the Lord for the outward benefits. We can read of those kings in Israel in an outward way that they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord blessed them as a nation with prosperity. What is our desire when we are in an outward way seeking to walk in the ways of the Lord? Do we want him to be our king so that we can live a prosperous and an easy life in this world? Esau congregation was content with a dish of pottage, but Jacob was not. Jacob sought a different blessing. And the Lord Jesus, later, he is speaking about the necessity of a different eating. What does he say? He says, "Except ye shall eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And the multitude, they heard his words. And what happened? Many of them, we read, left him. They wanted, they needed no part of a spiritual eating. Why not? They were not alive. What does a dead man need to eat in this world? Nothing. It is impossible for him to eat. It is not necessary for him to eat because there is no spirit, there is no natural life. And so it is when we are spiritually dead. And the Lord speaks about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. That is a spiritual eating. And then we can have a need for the food of this world, for our natural body, but no need for a different eating. How is that when we are hungry, young people? How is that? And we may eat a good meal. Do you like that? Or sometimes you say, "Oh, that is so delicious." Or then you sit and you can enjoy that meal so much. Now, what do you think of spiritual blessings in comparison with the natural? What do you think? There is nothing to be compared to that spiritual eating. When that spiritual hunger and that spiritual thirst may be experienced in your life, and then the Lord may open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, a spiritual blessing, then I do not know. I do not know how to draw your heart and to tell you what that is, to eat and to drink that spiritual food. Congregation, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh we read that profiteth nothing, and it is a good and right thing. It is a proper thing that we would have a day of thanksgiving, but all when we will end in all the blessings that the Lord is giving to us here below. Oh, how poor that we are. If we would gain the whole world and lose our own soul, what is the profit? The Lord Jesus, he says therefore here, labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Is it ever a wonder to you that you still may have bread and food on the table? I said when we began, we don't need a long list. We need a heart that's humbled. When I was young, I'll just say that for our young people and children too, I remember so clear. You know, we can sit at a table and that is so laden and our heart so hard. But there was a moment when, yeah, my family that was gone, we were living in New Jersey and I was sitting there by myself. And I had a little hunger. I needed something to eat. There was not so much. Well, not because we lacked anything ever, no. But I had just a piece of bread. Just a piece of bread. And a little butter. And that was that. I set it before me on the table on a plate. And I'll never forget. I looked upon that bread and my heart broke. How unworthy that we are of the least of all the blessings of the Lord. Congregation, what is our life? What are we doing with our hands? What are we doing with our words? What are we doing with our whole life, with those blessings which the Lord is providing for us moment by moment? How is it possible that we can live like we do? How is it possible that the Lord can be so long-suffering to continue to give to you and to me bread upon our table when we have no thought of God, no thought, when we go our own way? Oh, I hope that the goodness of the Lord this day, and we are called to consider that goodness, that that goodness of the Lord may break our heart, that we may have a desire through the receiving of the natural blessings, that food and drink that is so undeserved. And when we may behold something of the great goodness of the Lord, that there may be a desire out of the love of our heart unto that good-doing God, to such unworthy creatures as we are, to also receive something of those spiritual blessings that also come out of His hand and never, never out of His left hand.
out of which many of his natural blessings do come forth, but always out of his right hand, not only for the glory of his name, but also for the salvation of his soul. Oh, may the Lord bind it upon our hearts. Amen. Oh, Lord, instruct us. We are such foolish people, and we have no eyes to see. Lord, it all comes from Thee. Remember us this day. Oh, break our hearts this day under all Thy goodness, Thy blessings, and that we may seek those spiritual blessings, that we may seek to be reconciled unto Thee who art so long-suffering unto us. Remember us further, and wilt Thou help us also in this afternoon hour. Bring us with desire into Thy house of prayer, and give us what we need to bring and to hear Thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Whom have I, Lord, but Thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. But Thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for Thee my troubled heart is burning. Though flesh should faint and heart should break, Thou art my rock that naught can shake in life, in death. Thou art my stay, my strength, my portion, Lord, for a 3 and 4 of Psalter 439.
Perish in death.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.